All right, thanks, Dr. Falconer. We're going to kick off the fingerprint calculator section of this conference. Appreciate the opportunity to be here. Start off with this slide, and you may wonder, okay, where's he going with this? But you know, if you go back and visit with our friends that grow poultry, that grow pork, if you'd go back, say, 10 or 15 years ago and visit with them, the egg producers, and ask them if they thought having cage-free eggs would impact their ability to sell a product, they would look at you like you were crazy. Gestation crates with our pigs. The other day I saw a commercial on TV, I think it was Carl's Jr.'s. They were having a new hamburger now. Grass-fed beef, no antibiotics, and no hormones. Now, I don't know if they're going to charge more for it, but, you know, there's a lot of things like that going on in the industry. And you know, sometimes, you know from those of us that I feel like are closely connected to the farm, we look at that and I think that's crazy. But this is real world to a lot of people, and these are some things that we really need to think about and as far as our education effort and to let some of those people know where we are. A lot of this is driven on social media. You know, there's just a handful of people influence the buying habits of a lot of folks out there. And a lot of it goes back to people just don't know where their food comes from. I've got a host of stories I could share with you about that, but I'll go with this. But I really like this. To all you hunters who kill animals for food, shame on you. You are to go to the store and buy the meat that was made there where no animals were harmed. That's just so typical. But anyway, what are we doing about that as an industry? Well, that's kind of where the field to market come in. If you look at the members of the field to market, you'll see a lot of logos up there. There's brands and retailers. There's commodity groups. You know, the commodity groups, cotton's up there, rice, potatoes, beans, corn. NGOs are on there. If you look at all of these, it's a really wide, broad spectrum of the industry, but we all have a common interest in agriculture, and we want to be able to develop and be in a position where we can toot our horn about what we're doing in terms of being good stewards of the environment and doing the right thing in a bottom sense. You know, if you look at this slide, I got this off the field to market site. You know, there's some companies out there that have, I don't know if we want to say lofty goals, but these goals, I guarantee you, are going to be met. A lot of these go back to greenhouse gas or fertility. The very bottom, Walmart, reduced fertilizer use on 14 million acres of U.S. farmland by 2010. A number of those have greenhouse gas emissions. And Ed, I know with Cotton Incorporated, you know, I'm sure you've been in some of the meetings with Walmart, and they say they're going to do this. And sometimes we look and say, well, you know, if we reduce our fertilizer rates, we're going to reduce yield. And I could just see them saying, well, that's not my problem. You fix that. But anyway, this is their agenda, and they're going to do what they need to do to meet this, I'm sure. So, with the field to market on how we define sustainability, the bottom line is, meeting the needs of the present while improving the ability of future generations to meet their own needs and so forth. But just to be, you know, sometimes Andy would say just to be able to keep on doing what we're doing now, over time. When I think of field to market, you know, I've been involved with the field print calculator a lot. And the field to market is a lot more than the field print calculator. One of the things is the National Indicators Report. There's a lot that goes into that. And a lot of this goes back, you know, they've got people that go through and investigate a lot of publicly available data from USDA and other sources. And they were able to come up with some things like this. If you look at how much improvement cotton has made over time, you'll see that now compared to the last 30 years, we use 30% less land area to grow a unit of cotton, or if we want to say a pound of cotton or a bale of cotton, whatever. Soil loss, we lose 68% less soil now, and I say now, this was a 2012 report compared to 1980, so but 30 years of production. We lose 68% less soil now than we did 30 years ago. Irrigation water use, that's something that just really jumps out. We use 75% less water now than we did 30 years ago to produce the same unit of cotton. You know, some of this is because our yields have increased, but you look at the amount of water that we use less water now. In the consultant conference, Jim Berdosky and some of the others are talking about, you know, a lot of things that we've done to improve the delivery of our irrigation water and to improve our timing to get a lot more crop for our drop. And so there's a lot of things like that we're looking at. You know, I'm in a rice county, and I've helped give some of this information on rice. You know, we think about rice. We use 53% less water to grow a pound of rice now than we did. So we've made tremendous impacts. But when we look at that, the brands and retailers like the Walmarts and all them, they say, well, that's fine. We don't care what you've done. We want to know what you're going to do. And so that's kind of where some of this is, kind of come into the field print calculator. It's an online tool. It's an educational tool. I like to think of it as a way, you know, a farmer can get on there and look to see where they are and to improve themselves for self-improvement. The metrics that we look at now are, we have a lot of cables up here. We look at land use, soil conservation, which is basically soil erosion. They wanted to have a metric on here for organic matter. But, you know, soil is not a dead thing. It's a living thing. You can go back to the same spot every month and pull a sample, and your organic matter will change. So we use a tool from NRCS, Soil Conditioning Index, to kind of give us an idea on how soil carbon is changing over time. Water use, it should be irrigation water use. Look at how much water we put out, and then how many pounds of product do we produce, whether it's corn or rice or cotton, how many pounds do we produce over a dry land yield. Energy use, greenhouse gas emissions, water quality, a new metric it's in process now is biodiversity. But a farmer can, you know, would basically, for the field print calculator, you need everything you've done. From, you know, you look at planting seed, there's the energy use. There's embedded energy in planting seed. It took energy to grow that seed. It took energy to process it, to ship it, to get it to your farm. There's chemicals involved in the cotton seed. There's embedded energy in that. There's embedded energy in the herbicides, the insecticides you put out. A ton of embedded energy in fertilizer. And so all those different things go into play into the field print calculator. And Ed, I think it kind of figured in the amount of energy it takes to produce a tractor, and some of those things are also kind of involved in this somehow or another. So that's kind of what it is. If you look at the three basic functions of the field print calculators is benchmarking and data collection. Just like, you know, some of the things that we've talked about this morning, when we look at models for the hypoxia and all this, there's a lot of assumptions that we use, and a lot of times we don't have really good data. And so if we can work with farmers and develop real-world data, then models are a lot better when we have better data, aren't they? And when we do this, when we know what's going on, we can help better identify opportunities for a continuous improvement. And another thing is, the third point is aggregating information and enabling the supply chain sustainability claims. And so I think that's going to be a big part down the road. I've heard Cater talk about some of these metrics, field print calculator being a big part of the cotton leads program, is just to make sure the door is not shut on the U.S. cotton anywhere. There's enough challenges we have now with price and all that, and to be excluded from markets is something that we just can't afford to happen to our cotton here in the U.S. If we go to the field print calculator itself and look, you can pick a field that you work with or work with a producer. The easiest way to get started on this is to input your lat long for that field. It'll pop that field up and basically draw a polygon around the field. And if you look at this, you notice that here's a field in southeast Arkansas. The polygon isn't exactly on the field itself, but when you draw a polygon around that field, it goes in to determine your dominant soil series that's in that. And from that, it ties into the cloud with NRCS information. And so it self-populates that with soil series, your slope length, a whole host of other things that's used in the NRCS tool, the Russell 2, to determine your soil erosion. There's a number of tools in the footprint calculator that go back to NRCS. You've noticed on one of the partner slides, NRCS is very dominant in that, and I think it's really been good to have NRCS as a part of this. But basically, you identify the field, you lock in the land area, and then you go through the season. You can put multiple years in this, but basically practices from the very start to the very finish. And when you get in, you know, when you first start, there's a lot of places in there where you really don't know where the calculator's going, what exactly it needs, and places kind of where you can get hung up. But after you have a feel for that, I'm sure Lori and Amanda that works with me and Andy and some of the other co-authors on this paper, once we have experience, we can take, you know, if we have access to that data, in, you know, 45 minutes, we can put that in and look at that and have a pretty good snapshot feel on where that producer is. And I know when I was working with Dr. Johnson and others in Texas with a pilot program with the National Cotton Council, worked with NRCS agronomist on the High Plains, and the thing that he commented to me that he really liked about this, he said, Bill, you know, in about, you know, an hour's time, a producer can sit down and have a really good overview on where they are. It's not a Russell tube replacement. It's not what it's meant to be, but it's meant to be a place you can go in and pretty well figure out where you are and where you need to go. So when we look at that, that's kind of how we get started, and then the output is kind of centered around a spider graph. If we look at this, this is again one from Southeast Arkansas, but you know, we have different metrics on the graph itself. Land use is basically a measure of yield. Soil conservation is soil erosion. Soil carbon is the soil conditioning index, give us an idea on the direction that organic matter is moving. Irrigation water use efficiency, greenhouse gas emission, energy use, and water quality. If you look at this line, this symmetrical line here is the national average, and the national average is normalized to be halfway out from the center to the outside of the spidergram. So when you look at a field print calculator, you'll always see the symmetrical shape. Now, when you look at this, the shape doesn't go all the way over here to complete the whatever kind of, that's a seven-sided image, whatever you call that. That's because we don't have a national average for water quality. In some of the older outputs, you might see a line that comes across there to kind of finish this out. What they're wanting to try to do is get away from that, and where we don't have a national average, have that part being open. Now, that's the national average. You go to this next line, that's the state average. And you come in over here again, we don't have a state average for water quality index, but instead of not being there, it goes down to the middle and back out. And so there's some things that we do that they're in process of working on that makes it a little confusing to look at. Now, again, the national average is normalized to be halfway out. Now, the field itself is this blue shaded area. Now, the better you are, the smaller that is. And see, you see this person right here is well below the national average on all the different metrics. Soil conservation is really low, very little soil erosion. Soil carbon is high. You can just kind of see where they are. So that's just one example. Now, I've stole some slides from Lori and would like to kind of go into a field that they've looked at and collected data. I'm going to go through these real quick, but the bottom thing I want to show y'all is how changing cultural practices will impact the spidergram, and then maybe with that, when you look at the results that other people might have, then that give you a better idea what's going on. But in this particular situation, let's focus on the nitrogen application. They went in with a traditional farmer approach where he traditionally put 120 units of nitrogen out. In the previous slide, basically that was to show there was really no difference in yield from year to year. In the variable rate nitrogen approach in 2011, they put 104 units of nitrogen. In 2012, they put 71 units of nitrogen out. And again, basically no impact on yield. So when we look at this, here's on this spidergram. Here, you know, as we go across on this spidergram, this is the national average, halfway out on the graph from the center. Now, when we come over here, there's no line on irrigation water use. So what does that tell you? It's a dry land field. So that's why that line does not go all the way around. And then here, this other line is the state average again. It kind of makes a big kind of bow tie. And when you look at it, it's not real easy to figure out, but it's a dry land field. And so we don't have a metric there for that. And then we don't have a metric whatsoever for water quality. And so it goes back into zero. So that's kind of why it has a bow tie. So the things that we can look at on the state average are your energy use and greenhouse gas, soil carbon, soil conservation, and land use or yield. And so that's kind of giving you an idea here. So now then, let's look at the traditional 120 units blanket across the field versus the variable rate. What happened to that? The footprint for that field went down. You know, I talked about a while ago how much embedded energy there is in fertilizer. See the difference that just changing that nitrogen rate made on energy use, greenhouse gas emissions. There's a large component of fertilizer in the calculator fertilizer rate on greenhouse gas emission. Soil carbon, really, you know, when you change the fertilizer rate, you know, it really didn't have a lot of impact on soil carbon. Soil erosion didn't have an impact on that. Lint yields, we already talked about lint yields, didn't change, so it didn't change those. So really, the main thing we changed in this was energy use and greenhouse gas. So now then, let's look at variable rate technology with and without cover crops. You know, when you look at cover crop, when we look at water quality, really we're looking at edge of field water quality. And so when we do things like reduce our tillage, if we go from a conventional till to a no-till, your edge of field water quality is going to go up because we have less soil erosion. When you put a cover crop in with that, that's even going to make that better. And so the big thing that you'd expect for going with a cover crop is an improvement in soil quality. And, you know, we're not going to see really a difference in yield. We're not expecting a difference in yield. Soil conservation, see how much better soil conservation is. Right here, you can just barely see that. Soil carbon is so much better with a cover crop in there. So you kind of see how those practices change the field print. So with this in mind, and I am out of time, but with the Arkansas row crop verification program in cotton, what we're wanting to try to do is take some of these principles that we know that we can have an impact on the field print and see how that relates to profitability and have a paired field with a producer. So maybe, you know, we get into a situation like that and see what we can do to get them into something like that and then track that along to see, are we more profitable? And that's kind of the bottom line of where we are.